You are listening to the Her Money Matters podcast, episode number 5.
Welcome to the Her Money Matters podcast, the podcast to help you take control of your finances. Join your host, motivational money coach, Jen Hemphill, as she shares with you practical, simple money insights and real-life stories by women like you. Let's get to it.
Hey, hey, you are listening to the Her Money Matters podcast. This is Jen Hemphill. I'm so grateful and excited to have you here from wherever you are listening today. Today, I have a very special guest, super fun person to talk to, and we're going to learn about her and her money story. So welcome, Adriana Domingos-Lufer. I'm really excited to have you here.
Thank you, Jen. I'm so excited to be here. I'm excited about Her Money Matters because it does.
It surely does. So let me tell you a little bit about Adriana, or Adriana. She is a proud military spouse, a mother of two, a passionate entrepreneur. She loves creating and sharing opportunities with military spouses and community members. She has various businesses, so she's super busy. I still can't believe how she manages it all. So she has MSB New Media, a Next Gen Mill spouse, and a subscription box service featuring military spouse and veteran-made products named Spouse Box. And I still need to order one of those, Adriana.
So get them while they go quick.
Oh, they do. That's the thing. So, and I also, and aside from that, I wanted to tell you, she is just that type of person that immediately you just can say she can be just like this really good friend. That's the type of person online. That's the type of person that I see. So I think she's really going to enjoy her. So I'm excited to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to get started. So tell me, what are we talking about today?
Awesome. So first I wanted to, so you can, I know a little bit about you, but if you could just give me a little background on you.
Sure, sure. So like you said, I'm a mom of two. I just celebrated my 11th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
So, woohoo. Thank you. As an Air Force spouse, I move around, and personal finances is just something that's always been a passion point for me. Some people have hobbies, you know, other hobbies. Mine is super dorky, and it's money. but it's funny that I'm so glad that you invited me on, because when I first got started, I started as a personal finance blogger. So I'm just really excited to talk about all of these wonderful personal finance tips.
All right. So Adriana, tell me, how did you grow up around money?
I grew up in a household. My parents were always, you know, pretty open, not like a total open book about money. Like we didn't always talk about like the nitty gritty details, but they were very, very passionate about saving. And saving in traditional vehicles like savings accounts, right? And savings bonds. And one of the things that they always told us, like if we ever got money for Christmas or for a birthday, they had a rule that we could spend half and we had to save the other half.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. And that was something that was ingrained in me from very, very young. Like I always remember having to, set aside half of our gift money or half of anything, for saving purposes. So we talked about it. I think a little bit, and my parents, hopefully they don't listen to this podcast and feel bad, but you know, so they would fall into the trap of, we can't afford to do something. Yeah. We just can't afford to do that. Or we can't afford to, that phrase is something that I grew up with. And it was something that always, as a kid, it always frustrated me. So I adopted something new, which I'm sure we could talk about later. But growing up, I had a very healthy relationship with money. Saving was at the cornerstone of what I did. I never got into consumer debt in college, and I attribute that to their conservative, you know, they were conservative savers. They were not risk takers. They didn't buy houses. They didn't invest in, you know, the mutual funds or stock market or bonds or anything like that. But they were what I would call your traditional American saving family, you know, put some away in savings for a rainy day.
Perfect. Yeah. And I can completely relate because I grew up around the same thing where my parents were the famous phrase of the day, we can't afford us. You know, we can't afford that. And that definitely frustrated me for sure. But I noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed growing up, that even though you turn that around, that it still affected you in some way. I mean, I know it did for me. So I became very frugal and it's good to be a saver, but it's also good to enjoy life. Don't you agree?
I agree. I think it's all about striking that balance.
Absolutely.
Moderation is a huge part of just my lifestyle in general, but it's definitely part of how I approach money. I always said that the Atkins approach to budgeting was never one for me.
You are too funny. Oh, goodness. Now, tell me, I know one thing that we have definitely have in common, we have various things in common, but you were also an AFC, an accredited financial counselor. I know you mentioned you were started in personal finance blogging. So what do you feel you do well with money?
I think one of the things that I do well with money is being really aware of what is going, you know, what goes out, what's coming in and what's going out. I think that that's probably one of the most important things that everybody has to master is really, really knowing what kind of money are you playing with and how much money are you actually spending? Because I think that that's the first question anybody has to answer before they move forward in planning for the future. So the idea of being aware around money is something that I think I'm really good at. And I think another thing that I'm very good at is projecting forward, thinking future forward. So knowing that a latte today might mean, you know, no vacation in 3 months.
Especially if you do lattes every day.
As long as if you build it into your budget like I do. But, you know, there are choices. Every purchase you make doesn't put you in a – it may delay another goal. Right. So I'm very goal-oriented. I guess that would be a good thing. I'm good at setting goals, money goals.
That's beautiful. Now, are you the money manager in the home, just being with all this savviness that you have around money?
Well, you know, it's funny that you ask this. It's getting ready to change. Yes, oh, really? I have been the money manager for all my earning life. But in our marriage, I am married to a spender.
Me too.
Well, he's a recovering spender. We'll call it that. He's moved a lot towards moderation. But he's actually getting ready to take over the personal finances, just day-to-day operations. And that's because with the businesses that I have going on, I also run the books on those.
Oh my gosh. And
yeah, it's been a little bit overwhelming to tackle both the personal budget and the business budgets. And I just need... I need some separation from managing so many budgets. So he's going to be taking it over. We're actually doing turnover in the next couple of weeks. Yes, you heard that right.
I love it.
Yes, we're doing turnover. And we're going to be walking through basically the state of the budget today and looking at all the bills, walking through all the different payment portals. Okay. And all that good stuff. So he's going to be handling it. But yes, I was the money manager in the past. I'm still going to be an active participant.
Right.
Because you can't be passive in a relationship.
Absolutely.
So even if you're not the money manager, you must know what's going on. So he's just going to be taking the lead, but I'm going to be watching.
Right. And I love that you bring that up because that's something that I really, really try to communicate with clients that even if you're not the money manager, you have to be in the know what's going on because not only will that affect what you're doing financially, but your relationship. So if you have a clear financial picture of what's going on, you're going to be spending a little better, right? And you're going to be able to communicate that stress that because let's face it, stress in a relationship, a lot of it comes with, you know, because of money. So that will also help. So I'm glad that you brought that up, and kudos to your husband for doing that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It'll be interesting. I'm not going to lie, I'm having control issues, but we'll get through this.
Yes, you will. You will. Well, tell me, how about what is the best money you've spent?
The best money I've ever spent would be two things. It would be on a property manager.
Okay.
And on having a financial advisor run over our finances with us. So I'm going to talk about the property manager quickly. That was the best money ever spent because as a military family, you know, we're constantly moving. We had an unexpected PCS come up a few years back, and the housing market was just not where it needed to be for us to sell and recover any kind of profit off of our home that we had purchased. I knew we were going to be far away, and a property manager, finding the right property manager, which we did, really removed the stress from managing our rental. And it was just worth every penny. Our property manager has been able to ensure that our property, you know, stays intact and is a good investment, and has found, you know, handles everything that, related to the house, so that we can treat it like an investment and not like a burden. And it's great. The financial advisor, actually, this is some good money I need to spend again, because it's been a while since we've done this. I think, like any time you go get a physical for your body, your finances sometimes need a tune-up too. And even though I'm Jen and you and I are financial professionals, or you're a financial professional and I'm an ex-financial professional.
You still are.
It's important to get a fresh set of eyes on your finances. Absolutely. Sometimes you might think that you know what the issues are or what you really need to be focused on. And it might not be that. You just might be too close to the situation to really get a good handle on something. And I know the last time we had a financial an appointment with our financial advisor, it was a he at that time. He was able to identify some gaps that we had overlooked and set some goals for us. And it really helped us refocus our spending. So those are the two things that I think were the best buys for our money.
Right. Well, they are. And I can attest to both. And that property manager, we've used one in the past. And yes, the stress alleviation is, oh my gosh, it's amazing. So that is, I like that. Loved it. And so do you prefer cash when you spend cash, check, or credit? I know checks aren't used that much anymore, but.
I use them more than I thought I would when I was like a spry 18-year-old, and I would just give my mom the stank eye for writing a check at the grocery store. But I use checks more often than, you know, I do use them more than I ever thought I would. I think it's good and important to know, to have checks just in case. But no, we function on credit month to month for many reasons. One of which is we really do pay off our credit card every month. So we rack up points on our credit cards, and we use the credit cards as a tool for generating extra, you know, mad cash for vacations and other things. But the reason that we also function on credit is that we're a constantly on the go family. We're constantly traveling. And I feel that making purchases on credit cards is safer. I've had situations where we've had fraud, and the fraud protection on our credit card was able to, you know, protect our transactions. And it's not as forgiving on a debit card. We have some really great, you know, vacation policy also on our credit card that we've paid for, you know, vacations on. And if there was adverse weather or something like that, our credit card would have covered it. There's just great protections with our card. But we know ourselves, right? So we budget knowing that all expenses have to go on the credit card, and then that money has to directly come out of the checking account to pay off that credit card bill every month. Right. So it's just something that we've adopted that works for us. It doesn't work for everyone, and that's okay. But yes, we prefer credit because we feel that it's safer.
Right, right. And now tell me, with credit, of course, you mentioned you pay it on the credit, and then pay it off at the end of the month. So there has to be a lot of communication involved between you and your husband to make sure that you don't go over.
Right.
So tell me a little about how do you handle that?
Well, we have a single purchase item rule.
Okay.
So neither of us can make a single purchase of an item that is $50 over the cost of $50.
Okay.
So typically, to be honest, I do most of the household purchases. So we know what our grocery budget is. So I know how much I have to spend at the grocery store. And, you know, we both have gas expenses, but we're typically not shopping willy-nilly. Gotcha. If that makes sense.
Yes.
Most of our shopping is planned and it's coordinated.
That helps.
Yeah, it does help. We had a problem, not a problem. We had a roadblock, about 6 years ago. And my husband being the spender that he is, I would sometimes send, you know, he'd be like, oh, I'll go pick up, you know, milk at such and such big box store. And he would come back with like milk and a DVD and a screwdriver and a t-shirt. And, you know, we noticed that we were getting this like black hole in our credit card where I couldn't determine exactly what we bought, you mm-hmm. know, at that, what that particular store. So we had like a come to Jesus moment where, I was like, dude, we can only go in and buy what's on the list. So now we really do talk about any additional purchases. There's very little that I don't know ahead of time or he doesn't know ahead of time of what we're going to be doing, you know, and that's typical stuff like the girls' clothing or, you know, stuff for the house. So we have really open communication and that's the key. And you said it,
absolutely.
Jen. We talk about everything. There are no secret purchases. We share all of our accounts are joint, which mm-hmm. is also, you know, every couple does it different. But for us, we were in it on a joint basis. So that requires that we just communicate often and regularly. And we do. So we're constantly checking in.
Right. And I know everybody differs, but we're also on a joint. But everybody has sometimes their own systems and it works for them. So, but yeah, for us, it's definitely joint as well. So I think I was going to ask you, are you a saver or a spender? And you've already told us your husband's definitely the spender. And I've kind of gathered that you are a saver. You still consider yourself a saver?
Yeah, I am a saver. I started very stingy, mm-hmm. which is a difficult place to be when yes. you live with a spender. And I think what we've done is like in any good relationship, and I think that it comes with age too and growing, you know, and actually having income because I was never accustomed to having an enormous amount of money at my disposal. Mm-hmm. So whatever I had, I wanted to hoard. But as we've gone on, what we've learned is that putting certain things on autopilot helped stave off my like stingy, like tendencies. So like, I know that when the money hits our checking account, we've already saved. We've mm-hmm. already invested. We've already, you know, certain things have already come out of our net income that leaves us disposable income. So whatever's in our checking account is disposable income. I can rest assured knowing that that's the money that we have after we've saved. And that makes me feel better.
Oh, so, absolutely.
That is huge. And I don't feel like I'm constantly having to, you know, spy at the checking account and say, oh my gosh, do we have enough set aside? Because it's already been, you know, put into an IRA or put into TSP or put into a 401k, whatever. It's all been taken care of. So putting that kind of stuff and making that a priority, let me loosen up a little bit. And we all have our vices too. So, you know,
absolutely.
I have a latte factor.
And it's funny you mentioned that because I feel like, goodness, you know, we're so much alike in those times because in those ways, because mm-hmm. I had a hard time, especially my husband being a spender. And of course, over the years, things have gotten better. And I think he's, in a sense, he opened up my eyes to, okay, yes, I grew up with that mentality of, okay, I think because my parents always said there wasn't enough money. So that's affected me. I'm like, of having to have that money because I didn't want to, but then I didn't spend it and didn't enjoy it. So what good does that do you? So you, you know, we talked about the balance and everything. But I think him being the opposite of me, and obviously me being the opposite of him, it kind of helped us balance each other out.
It's true. And you kind of meet in the middle, like, because now he's very conscious and he'll say things like, nah, it's not really worth it. Let's not do that. Or do we, you know, we don't need the appetizers. Why don't we share an entree? And I appreciate that. So it's nice.
Right. The appetizers and popcorn at the movies. That's his thing. He has to have
popcorn at the movies is a hard line for me. I have to have popcorn at the movies. The whole bucket, butter, I don't care. We're eating popcorn.
Oh, that's funny. Now, tell me, you spoke a little bit about it, but tell me about how your personal finances are managed in the home. If you have a certain system, I know you talked about automation, or do you have a certain way to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So we start by, and we're actually, this is what, something that we're getting ready to do right now, is a couple times, probably quarterly, we sit down and do a massive scrub.
I love your terms. Massive scrub. Love it.
Yes. So we know what our rent is. We know what our, what our bills are, what our must, whatever obligations and our must pays are. And right now our only must pay is the mortgage. That's a total obligation that we have because, we own the house, but everything else and rent, of course, but everything else is flexible and it all has to, we know what we absolutely have obligated ourselves to pay. So bills and all of that good stuff. That baseline lets us know how much money we have to spend within a given month. When we first started managing our money, we were very meticulous. I was very meticulous. We sat down with an Excel spreadsheet. I'm a spreadsheet person. We're both spreadsheet people. So we live in Excel with formulas and all of that good stuff. And we do scenarios and we do what if budgets. Okay. So what we'll do now is every 3 months or so, we'll pull all of our statements down and do a line item scrub where we go down and we make sure that our spending is still in line with our budget goals. And because we have things like our savings on automatic pilot, autopilot, where, money's going to the savings account, money's going to investments, money's going to that. Typically those numbers don't change. So where we see things, so basically we just sit down and we constantly measure, we just kind of do like a quarterly budget scrub. We don't pull our statement every single month and study that. We go into the account and we review probably once a week.
Okay.
And just make sure all of the purchases look right, that we didn't, we found some duplicate purchases at times where we had to put in, calls to the credit card company and say, hey, we got charged twice for this. But, we're monitors, we're scanners. We scan and then quarterly we sit down and we scrub. So I hope that makes sense.
No, that I like that. Love it. So what would you say would be your worst purchase or your worst money spent?
Worst money spent. It's actually a funny story. Okay. It was a Groupon.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I want to hear about this.
So, the worst money we ever spent was on a Groupon. And I have to say it wasn't we spent, it was I spent. And for being a professional financial counselor at the time, I should have known better. It's called Always Read the Fine Print and Do Your Homework. So there was this great Groupon and I thought I was going to be awesome because I'm very much so not the planner in our relationship when it comes to like remembering anniversaries and date nights and stuff like that. That's very much in his wheelhouse and not mine, but I thought I was going to be awesome. And I saw this Groupon come down for $50 for $100 at this restaurant who shall not be named. And hindsight being what it is, I interpreted that as the $100 being enough to cover the dinner. Like, we were getting dinner for like half price. Well, we went to this place. It was super posh. There were only 6 tables in the whole restaurant. Mm-hmm. There was an executive chef came out, said, you know, we're going to have all these courses. And he introduced each course. And he was like, I was like, I got a Groupon. This is great. You know, they said, you want to do the flight of wine? And I was like, yeah, let's do the flight of wine. How much more could it possibly be? Well, around course 4, Michael turns to me and he's like, so dude, did you check prices? I didn't see any prices. I was like, dude, I have a Groupon. It's half off. We're good. We're fine. And he's like, really? You didn't check the prices? I was like, I mean, I went to the website. I didn't really see anything. Well, so at the end of the 6th course, they bring out the bills. And Michael and I are sitting next to each other, and we never hide anything. So we're just like sitting in, and he opens the folio, and I kind of cock my head to the left, and I look at the price. And then we look at each other, and we close it. Because we were shocked.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we opened it again. And $346.82 later.
And you remember the up to the penny.
Up to the penny. And, of course, he's like, I hope you brought the Groupon. So anyways, so what ultimately went down? Yeah, so it was ridiculously expensive. I obviously did not read the Groupon carefully. So even those of us who do this for a living, we make mistakes.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't necessarily the worst money ever spent, but it was one of the largest and most painful money lessons I've had. And luckily we had the cushion. Because it could have sucked if we didn't, you know, we had the cushion to be able to, you know, eat that up. You know, maybe I didn't have a couple lattes for a long time to make up for that. But, you know, as soon as we went home, we went on the website, we did our homework, and he's like, you see, the prices were right there. And why didn't you read the fine print on the Groupon? And so I've never lived it down, and I actually don't buy Groupons anymore.
I was going to say, you probably don't buy Groupons anymore, do you?
Yeah, but they are fantastic. You just have to really read the fine print. And I don't want to disparage Groupon at all. It's a cool right. service for small businesses. But it was a lesson learned for me when it comes to thinking that you get a deal. And it's, the moral of the story is just because something's on sale doesn't mean it's a deal.
Right.
That's just a good rule of thumb across the board. So that was the most deliciously worst money I've ever spent.
Well, I love that story. And I love how you call each other dude.
We do. We're dude. I called him homie G when I opened the door when he was out with his coworker. His coworker kind of looked at me a little bit funny, but yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, as you know, this podcast is called Her Money Matters. So how would you finish? So it's a fill in the blank. How would you finish this sentence? Her money matters because
it's your money and it's your life. And if you don't have control over your money, you don't have control over the direction of your life.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Well, thank you so much for being here, Adriana. This was really fun. As usual, you always make me laugh. That's why I told everybody you're just a super fun person. And tell us where, I know you're all over because you've got multiple businesses. So tell us, where is the best place to find you and learn more about you?
Cool. I think one of the best places to find out more about me would probably be via, I really got to work on my website. You can find me on my website. It's at Adriana Lufer, Adriana. Lufer is LUPHER.com. And I'm going to be revamping that website, but for now it's still my home. And you can follow me on Twitter at ADLufer, and I'm always happy to connect.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I will be sure to have that in those show notes. So that way you can have easy access to that. So thanks, Adriana. This has been so much fun, and we will talk again.
Okay, great, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited to see and hear. I'm going to start listening to the Her Money Matters podcast because I need some reminders too.
Woohoo, Adriana. Thank you so much. So I will talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
I told you Adriana was going to be fun, wasn't she? Now I wanted to ask you for some help because I'm having a dilemma. If you haven't been with me for a while, you don't know, but I offer free online classes or webinars from time to time. And one of the comments that I keep getting over and over is, why haven't I done one in the evening? Especially for those of you that work the 9 to 5, it's hard to make those classes, right? And so I wanted to ask you, unfortunately, these past few months with my boys' schedule in the evenings, it just doesn't allow me to do evening webinars. And right around the 9 p.m. mark, literally, I am no good to anyone. So it's probably not a good idea to do a class or a webinar at that time. So I wanted to ask you, are you open? I'm still going to do the live webinars during the day. And then whenever I can in the evening, I will most definitely offer that. But my question to you, are you open to recorded classes? So what I mean, what this would be me recording the class ahead of time. And you would be able to choose the hour and the day of the week that you want to watch it, right? So I'm going to hold you accountable, meaning I'm not just going to send you the recording and just let you watch it whenever, but you can choose the hour and day that you want to. That way, those of you that work during the day can watch it in the evening, that sort of thing. I know some people like to be there present when someone is live. Others, it doesn't matter. So I want to hear from you. Are you open to a recorded class? That way I can accommodate those of you that work the 9 to 5 or work the long days. So just let me know. And how you can do that, you just go to my site. So just go to jenhempel.com/vote and you just choose, yes, I'm open to it. No, I'm not. This is what I like about it. And this is what I don't like about it. So that would really, really be helpful to me if you would share with me your thoughts and just cast your vote. So if you could do that. And if you haven't heard about my online classes and want to be on the notification list, on my website, you will see there's some banners. So on the right of the anywhere, when you go to jenhempel.com, and there are some banners, and it'll say something like free online classes. So you just click there, you put your name and email, and once I do my next live class or record a class, depending on what the results show as well, I'll have a mixture of both. Don't worry if there's a good indicator that recorder classes are okay with y'all. But anyways, so yeah, so just go to the right. There's some, it'll show free online classes and you just put your name and email and you will be notified as soon as the next one is available. So that's what I wanted your help on. That would be so great if you could just let me know what your thoughts are on that. So it's jenhempel.com/vote. All right. So I do have a little quick tip for you. I know during the interview with Adriana, you heard her speak about how automation completely helps her. So you may already be automating some of your bills, your retirement, things of that sort. And from what I see, there's not enough people that automate their savings. So if you're not doing it, do it. I want my tip here is treat your savings like a bill. So that way the bills you don't neglect, right? It's not optional. You go ahead and pay your bills. So I want you to treat your savings like a bill and you will do so much better with savings. So that is my tip today. So I want to go ahead and wrap it up and thank Adriana for being with us today and just for being so transparent and just sharing such a great story. So be sure to check out the show notes and also to where you can find Adriana at jenhempel.com/005. That's jenhempel.com/005 as in episode 5. Also, don't forget, if you're enjoying this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you just take a few moments to subscribe and leave me a review in iTunes. This will make the show more visible, and which translates to being able to help other women like you. So if you love the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a honest review, and that would be just, it would mean so much. I really would appreciate it. So that is it for today. Thanks for joining me. And I, until next Thursday, you take care and we will see you soon. Ciao. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast all about making your money management simple and practical. The question I get most often comes down to feeling lost and having no idea where to start when it comes to taking control of your money. That's why I created this Jumpstart Your Money Mini Guide to help busy women like you finally start with a clean slate and take the action you need with your budget without the overwhelm. You can get it for free at jenhemphill.com. That's J-E-N-H-E-M as a mom, P-H-I-L-L.com.